1480 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Monday was a bad day for law enforcement.
Today we lost some heroes that are out to just simply trying to keep our community safe.
Charlotte, Mecklenburg, North Carolina Police Chief Johnny Jennings, three of his officers and a deputy U.S. Marshal were shot and killed trying to arrest someone inside a home when they came under fire. Four other officers wounded. The person they were trying to arrest shot dead as well. A woman and a 17-year-old boy inside the house, found there after a long standoff, are being questioned. Prosecutors in Nogales, Arizona, say they will not retry 75-year-old rancher George Allen Kelly after a mistrial was declared in his first trial for gunning down a Mexican man on Kelly's property after the jury deadlocked and could not reach a verdict. Donald Trump's criminal hush money trial resumes in New York City this morning, a banker detailing establishment of shell companies to pay Stormy Daniels. This is ABC News. The Internal Revenue Service says more than 140,000 taxpayers filed their taxes through the new Direct File pilot program, claiming $90 million in refunds and saving $5.5 million on fees if they'd gone to a service. Despite the success, IRS is not guaranteeing the program will be back next tax season. Funny man Jerry Seinfeld says today's situation comedies are no longer funny, and he's blaming the extreme left. ABC's Jason Nathanson tells the tale.
Jerry Seinfeld misses the old days of getting home after a hard day and watching Cheers or MASH or Mary Tyler Moore.
You just expected there'll be some funny stuff we can watch on TV tonight. Well, guess what? Where is it?
He tells the New Yorker Radio Hour he knows exactly what happened.
This is the result of the extreme left and PC crap and people worrying so much about offending other people.
Mm-hmm. He says that's why people these days are turning more and more to stand-up comedy, because comedians aren't policed by anyone but the audience. Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
And in New York, I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
The John and Gordy Show.
I have to say this. I had a nightmare where the clouds were actually rubber erasers.
What did you eat before you went to bed?
And this gets worse. There were clowns on stilts.
Oh, no.
Seriously. And obviously, I have never forgotten that dream.
Obviously.
Weekday mornings, 6 until 8 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State School Superintendent Jill Underley says her agency can't implement Wisconsin's new literacy programs until lawmakers approve funding for them. Republican legislators are claiming in court the state can't spend $50 million for new reading initiatives because of a partial veto by Governor Evers. Hundreds of students are encamped at the University of Wisconsin Library Mall to protest Israel's war in Palestine. A group called Students for Justice in Palestine organized the event. It finds its protest against, quote, ongoing genocide and Zionist war crimes in Gaza and against student repression in the U.S. Protesters are demanding an end to the war, as well as for UW-Madison to divest from corporations that do business in Israel. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers lose to the Rays. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was the bottom of the ninth. The Brewers' Jake Bowers at the plate, and a called three strike got past the catcher, but Bowers was called for interference, preventing the tying run from coming in. Milwaukee losing at home 1-0, thanks to a bad call by the umpire, says Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Of course, you're frustrated. You know, really, you're frustrated. There's a lot to be frustrated about, but you can't let yourself do it for too long. It happened. We put ourselves in that position. But when that does happen, there's a lot of one-run games. When that does happen, you want them to get it right. And I believe 100% they got it wrong. according to what I just read in the room.
NBA, it's do or die for the Bucks, down 3-1 tonight against the Pacers here in Milwaukee for Game 5. So what's been hurting the Bucks?
You know, when you shoot better than the other team, but they take, 17 more shots than you, you're not going to win that game. It's hard to win that game, and yet we still could have.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price, partly cloudy in mid-40s here in the overnight with light west winds. Sunshine returning Tuesday, highs near the 70-degree mark. More clouds on the way Tuesday night. It will become breezy. Look out for some showers and even some thunderstorms in the area. Right now, it's 51.
Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, we'll get into the many ways rural Wisconsin could be harmed if a budget blueprint written by far-right lawmakers were to become law.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join the show. You can call, you can text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Very excited to have our next guest joining us. She is the chair of Democrats Abroad UK. Kristen Kaplan-Wolf is joining us. Good morning, Kristen. Can you hear us okay?
I can, and good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. Really excited to have you here. We're going to be talking about the importance of voting overseas for Americans who live overseas. But I want to start off, Kristen, with a little bit about your background, because you're from our great state.
I am. I am originally from Milwaukee, born and bred here, went to UW-Madison, so big Badger, and I take my Badger pride everywhere I go.
Good for you.
Went to Marquette Law School, so also carry that with me, and was really excited about the March Madness tournament. So again, I follow all those things closely. But the other part of me is my professional side, which I spend I had a 30-year career in the beer business. So I started out working at Miller Brewing Company when I was in law school, and that job took me to London in 2007, which is how I got overseas to begin with. So
wow.
It's a little bit about background. Wow.
I didn't know they had beer in London. I'm funny.
They do. It'd be great if they had Miller Lite, I'll tell you that. Tried forever to get them to sell Miller Lite, but they haven't done it yet.
They don't have Miller Lite there?
They don't. No, they do not. They have a thing about light beer, but I think they're missing an opportunity.
Kristen, my husband is English. I could set you guys up to have an argument for like 3 hours over what constitutes beer, just because he would be, oh boy, yeah. No, light beer is not going to fly in England.
I've had beer over there. It's fine. Going to get all American on you now.
So, Kristen, you've been living in England since 2007. You are still an American citizen, though.
I am absolutely still an American citizen, red, white, and blue through and through.
And so you still vote in American elections.
That is correct. So I vote in our federal elections, and it gets a little bit tricky on the state side because you have to declare whether or not you have an intent to return if you want to be able to vote in state elections. We started out with an intent to return. I thought I was only going to be overseas for 3 years, and it turned into 17.
Wow.
So I had to switch my status over to my return is uncertain. So I only vote in federal elections, but it's really important for all Americans to know that every American citizen over the age of 18 has the right to vote in at least their federal elections and then possibly their state elections as well.
Well, and the most important thing too, and not, I mean, as we're seeing with, here in America, but for you and everyone around the world, is access to that voting, access to those ballots, making sure that you can get your ballot in a timely fashion, get it off, get it to the states, and get it counted. And I can only imagine, I mean, with how many hundreds of thousands of people all over the world, whether it's you in London or a military person, it's that is a process that needs to be protected.
It is. And in fact, well, let me just back up a little bit too, because you may not even be aware that overseas citizens did not even have the right to vote in elections until 1986. And that's when Congress codified our right. So we actually have not just hundreds of thousands of voters, we have millions of voters. And it's estimated that we've got about anywhere between 4.3 is one official figure, but the unofficial figure can run as high as 9 million Americans living overseas. And so, yeah, the getting that word out about people's right to vote and how to go about doing it is one of our core missions.
I'm sorry, Kristen, would you please repeat the year that your vote or the votes of outside Americans outside the country were able to be cast? Please say that year again.
Yep, 1986. And that came under there was an actual act of Congress, and it was because we had two really dedicated Americans living overseas who got together as part of Democrats Abroad and lobbied Congress for 10 years. And as a result of that, the Uniformed and Overseas Civilian Absentee Voting Act was then passed. And that's what gave us the right to vote. So military men and women, their families, business people like me, students who are going abroad for a year, academics, people who just fall in love. All of us now have the right to vote, but that was not always the case.
That's a crazy notion to me to think that somebody who is overseas as a military personnel fighting for us was not allowed to vote before 1986. And like that's, Kristen, you're blowing my mind.
It is mind-blowing. What's even more mind-blowing is that people still don't even realize that this right exists, and there are a lot of myths that we have to overcome in order to get the word out that people have that right to vote, because they are given all kinds of misinformation, and we've got to do our work to correct that.
Yeah, that's got to be really a challenge when you're talking about millions of people who are living overseas and may not be plugged in, you know, to a lot of things that are going on, and may not even realize to this day that they have the ability to vote in federal elections, at least. Kristen Kaplan-Wolf is our guest. She's the chair of Democrats Abroad UK. And we're just talking about the importance of voting and access to voting. And I'm sure, Kristen, you're well aware of some of the things that have been going on here in the U.S. with trying to, at least it seems, trying to make it more difficult for people to vote.
Yes, I am aware of what is happening here, but we also have our challenges as overseas voters. So as a result of that Uniformed and Overseas Civilian Absentee Voting Act, we are under a slightly different process, but you want to talk about challenges? We have members who live in countries around the world where there is not even an operating postal system.
Oh my.
So for example, we have members in China that will spend anywhere between $60 and $80 to try and get their ballot back because they have to use a registered delivery courier service.
Sure.
So it, you know, there are, you know, that is an obstacle in and of itself, just being able to return a ballot, let alone, you know, request it and get it in a timely manner so you can get it back on time. But there are things that, you know, we are lobbying for in order to make sure that that happens. But I can give you a little bit more information about the actual process for anyone of your listeners who might want to spread the word for us.
Absolutely.
Yes, please.
So just really important is that the big difference for overseas voters is that we have to file something called a federal postcard application. And that postcard application not only registers you to vote, but it also ensures that you will get your ballot. So that is how you go about requesting your ballot. If you don't fill that out, you can't get an overseas ballot. And the big difference between a domestic absentee ballot and an overseas ballot is, by law, the ballots have to be mailed to overseas voters at least 45 days in advance of the election. Mm. So that at least facilitates the chance that you're going to get the ballot in time. And then now there's more that I can give you on that, but let me just pause there for a minute and see if you have any questions on just that part.
First of all, my first question, Kristen, is where do I get that postcard? I mean, is that something that I have to apply for from the U.S. government? Do I have to go to my embassy in whatever country I'm living in?
Nope. We make it easy for you. So you can go to votefromabroad.org. It's a nonpartisan website, and it has all the information you need in order to be able to register and get that FPCA sent to your local election official in whatever state you are living in, including Wisconsin. Or you can go directly to the Federal Voter Assistance Program website, and they too can register through that site directly. But the advantage of going to votefromabroad.org is we have all of the state information that you are going to need in order to be able to understand what you need to do to return your ballot, which that's a whole nother part of the process.
Kristen,
because it differs by state.
Sure. Kristen Kaplan-Wolf is our guest. She's the chair of Democrats Abroad UK. And I just found this interesting. Kristen, we do live stream all over the country. And I know we have listeners overseas because Annie sent us greetings from Barcelona, Spain.
And you said it like that too, Jane.
So we know that this is applicable for folks who are listening, I guess, is my point. I think it's really important, again, that anyone who wants to be able to take part should be able to take part in voting.
Absolutely.
That's correct. And, you know, I can't say it enough. And part of the message we really want people to recognize is that the overseas voters are, I'd call it, you know, the reinforcements are coming, you know, because we don't get counted in all those polls that you see constantly airing on TV. Yeah. We aren't even counted anywhere until our ballots arrive. So, you know, in 2020, we were the margin of victory. So if you look at Arizona and Georgia, Joe Biden won by 10,457 votes in Arizona. We delivered 18,483 of them. In Georgia, 11,779 votes he won by. We delivered 18,867. And in Wisconsin, because this is our home state here, yeah, and we're proud of it, you know, where the margins are so thin, yeah, where, you know, Joe Biden won by 0.6% of the vote, we had over 14,000 overseas military and civilians return their ballots, and that number has gone up year on year. So we are out here. I cannot emphasize enough. We are out here. If people can help spread the message, we can send even more votes back when people know that they have the right to do it.
Absolutely.
One wonders if all of these ballots coming in from overseas couldn't be feeding the narrative on one side about why we need same-day voting only and only paper ballots.
Well, you know what? Well, first off, that question has already been settled, at least in terms of the congressional act that says, you know what, we have the right to vote. So mm-hmm. that cannot be undone. But the idea of we can request our email ballots in Wisconsin, every state's different. So for your listeners in other states, that's different. But everyone can request their ballot by email, but then depending on the state, you can't always return it by email. So you have to actually mail it back in a physical paper format with witness signatures and all kinds of things. So, you know, I think the system right now works. It could certainly be improved mm-hmm. to make it easier. But, yeah.
So far, it's working. Yeah. Kristen, we have a hard break coming up. Can you stay with us for one more segment?
Absolutely.
That would be great. Kristen Kaplan-Wolf is our guest, the chair of Democrats Abroad UK. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute with a couple quick thoughts about boosting your credit score. The most important thing you can do is paying your bills on time. But I've got a way you can make your payments even on timer. Each month, set up not one, but two evenly spaced automatic payments so that your credit balance is always as low as possible. You're not going to pay more. You're just paying the same amount in two smaller hits to keep the card's overall balance low. This guarantees that whenever the credit bureaus check in on how much credit you're using, they're going to see you using an almost ridiculously low amount of your credit limit. The bureaus like this, and then they bump up your credit score. So set that extra auto payment up each month, and let's give your credit score a boost. Okay, folks, that was your Work Money Minute. Go to workmoney.org for more tips or text MONEY to 88285. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lovell Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always call or text at 855-75-CIVIC or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our guest, very excited to have her here. She is the chair of Democrats Abroad UK. Kristen Kaplan-Wolf is here to talk about the importance of all the Americans who live and work overseas and still want to take part in our federal elections. Because, Kristen, as you said, the state elections, it varies from state to state, right?
Indeed, it does. So the state rules, and it really comes down to whether or not the voter intends to return to that state or not. So Wisconsin, for example, is an intent to return state. So you have to declare if you intend to return. If you don't, then you're only in the federal elections. Otherwise, you can vote in the state elections. But that does not mean that certainly Democrats Abroad does not take an interest regardless in the state elections. In fact, you know, we do a lot of work to turn out the overseas vote for voters living in battleground states like Wisconsin, you know, Georgia, et cetera. So we call, we text, we phone bank our members, and we help to get the word out. And then once the time has passed for us to get our ballots back, we then turn stateside and help out our state Democratic teams as well.
And that website is democratsabroad.org. One of our listeners, Tom from LA, asked that we repeat that, democratsabroad.org. Also, votefromabroad.org. All of those websites will be in our show notes today. Kristen, one of the things you spoke about earlier, and we talk about a lot on this show when it comes to, especially when it comes to voting, which is very heartbreaking, is misinformation. Mm. What are some of the biggest forms that you have come across, you deal with, and something we should know when having these discussions that we can deal with as well, because to be better informed on these topics only helps us get the word out. So if there are things that people are saying that we should be aware of, is what can you talk about there?
Yeah, so part of the misinformation is around people's right to vote. So I cannot tell you the number of times I have been sitting in a restaurant, standing at a train station, and an American hears me speaking and they approach me and say, hey, you know, I'd love to be able to vote, but I no longer own property in the U.S. I no longer have a residence. I'm born to U.S. parents, but I never lived in the U.S. Or even, you know, I just can't vote. My parents told me that I don't have the right to vote.
Oh my gosh.
And so, right. So I spend a lot of time we have an entire operation of people called Get Out the Vote, and they do nothing but go out. We try to find Americans first off. So when the NFL comes to London, you can bet that you're going to see Get Out the Vote people from Democrats Abroad there educating them on, yes, you do have the right to vote, and here's how you do it. So all these are myths. I mean, if you are a U.S. citizen, as we've said before, you have the right to vote in at least federal elections. If you are wanting to vote and you've never lived in the United States, you then use your parents' last address from where they lived in the United States. If you are someone who is a student, and by the way, can I add to your list of websites, studentsfromabroad.org, because the students who go over for just a year, you know, they typically are, you know, short-term people, but sure, they are here for an election and they do qualify as overseas voters for that period. So those folks, you know, when they come over, they also have that right to vote, and they don't often realize it. And they're still relying on mom and dad's information that says, oh, no, here's how you vote absentee. But they're using a domestic process, not the overseas process.
And there's a difference. Yep. And there's some very important differences there.
very important differences. And again, most importantly, the time frame to receive that ballot and how you can receive it. So again, in Wisconsin, for example, you can receive it by email, but you must return it back by postal mail following some very complicated instructions. And we, by the way, have a state team. It's called Wisconsinites Abroad, and they specialize in all of the different issues that come up every year, because obviously the voting rules change in states, and so they are on top of it. They work with the Wisconsin Election Commission, and we have state teams around the country that do the exact same thing. So we've got an entire voter protection team that's out there watching to make sure that people are being given the right information, not just by people, you know, mom or dad or man or woman on the street, but even some of our local election officials don't actually know how to work with overseas voters. So there's a lot of work that we do to educate them.
And we do a lot of work to educate people here too, because a lot of people, even on the in this country, there's so much misinformation. Yep. I once worked on a campaign where my job was to go to neighborhoods and tell people, especially those who were, you know, still who are on papers for committing a felony or coming off, that they would have their rights restored once they came off papers. And they were just under the impression, oh, I'm on paper, I'm done, I can never vote again. I'm like, and because no one tells them, because we just want them to not vote. I mean, that's your
takeaway.
My takeaway, but we are here to educate too. So what you're doing over there is wonderful. And we're going to have all the websites in the show notes, Democrats Abroad, the Vote From Abroad, as well as the student page. And really quick, can you tell us your social media presence?
Yeah, our social media, we're on democratsabroad.org. So we're out on the website, but then we've also got Twitter, we've got Facebook, so we've YouTube. So if you want to watch any of our YouTube videos, Great. We're out there on that as well. So we'd love to have as many followers as we can get, because obviously the more followers we get, the better.
I wanted to share this text that Kristen, that came in from Robert from McFarland. He says, when Green Bay played a game in London, we drank the city dry.
Well, that's why, one reason why we needed Miller Lite there. You know, we could have used more. They drank it dry. We needed some more. You should have brought them with me next time when he comes.
Absolutely.
My gosh. Well, if you ever make your way back to Wisconsin, come on down. We'll buy you a Miller Lite and we'll chat.
And I'm actually here right now. I'm sitting in my parents' house in Milwaukee. So they celebrated their 60th wedding anniversary. Oh. So I'm home for that moment.
Well, congrats to mom and dad. Wow.
Cheers to them.
That's an amazing accomplishment.
Yeah, it sure is. It sure is.
It's been so delightful. Thank you so much for joining us. Kristen Kaplan-Wolf is the chair of Democrats Abroad UK. And as Greg mentioned, we will get all of the links up in our show notes. It takes about an hour to get that all posted and to get everything ready to go. But we would love to have you back before November, if that's possible.
Oh, that'd be great. And thanks so much for having me. And thanks for all the good work you guys are doing to get out all that information. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Kristen. Stay close. We have news on the way next. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mad Radio 92.7 FM, home of the John and Gordy Show.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Monday was a bad day for law enforcement.
Today we lost some heroes.
that are out to just simply trying to keep our community safe.
Charlotte, Mecklenburg, North Carolina Police Chief Johnny Jennings, three of his officers and a deputy U.S. Marshal were shot and killed trying to arrest someone inside a home when they came under fire. Four other officers wounded. The person they were trying to arrest shot dead as well. A woman and a 17-year-old boy inside the house, found there after a long standoff, are being questioned. Prosecutors in Nogales, Arizona say they will not retry 75-year-old rancher George Allen Kelly after a mistrial was declared in his first trial for gunning down a Mexican man on Kelly's property after the jury deadlocked and could not reach a verdict. Donald Trump's criminal hush money trial resumes in New York City this morning. A banker detailing establishment of shell companies to pay Stormy Daniels. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Health officials are reassuring people that pasteurized milk from Wisconsin is safe to drink. Dairy cows in other states have come down with the bird flu in recent weeks, but so far there are no reports of bird flu in Wisconsin. In the meantime, dairy farmers are urged to be on the lookout and let health officials know if they have any sick animals. The most conservative U.S. House Republicans may try to remove Speaker Mike Johnson from his post this week. Wisconsin's Brian Stile is against the idea.
It'd be a distraction. What we need to be focused on is the issues of the day. It'd be disappointing if any of my colleagues bring that forward, and hopefully we can keep Speaker Johnson in his job.
Stile speaking with WISN-TV's Upfront. The Republicans' right wing is unhappy with Johnson over the foreign aid package that passed last week. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. If you're looking for something to watch, here's a new Schwab emendation. Liam Neeson's In the Land of Saints and Sinners is a good film. Neeson had fallen into a rut of cookie-cutter revenge films, but Saints and Sinners has a solid story, is set in Ireland, where the actor plays an enforcer who is searching for more out of life and butts heads with a group of Irish Republican Army soldiers. The film has just enough action, really good characters, and is in a beautiful setting. Jerry Seinfeld says you can't worry about being politically correct when it comes to comedy. The 69-year-old comedy legend was discussing Unfrosted, his feature film directorial debut, about Pop-Tarts with Page Six when he segued into the topic of offensive comedy. The comedian says, pick up a paper, look for jokes, and just navigate around them. Jerry says he is not worried about being politically correct with his act, which is a tough stance and shows a lot of backbone. He's also worth $1 billion. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price, partly cloudy in mid-40s here in the overnight with light west winds. Sunshine returning Tuesday, highs near the 70-degree mark. More clouds on the way Tuesday night. It will become breezy. Look out for some showers and even some thunderstorms in the area. Right now, it's 51.
I'm John.
I'm Gordy.
Join us for the John and Gordy Show 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
Right here on WMDX Bad Radio in Madison.
Your family won't want to miss the shindig, hullabaloo, and politics.
John and Gordy Show weekday morning 6 to 8 a.m. right here.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
This past week, the far, far right created what they called the Floor Action Response Team. The acronym there is FART. And no such stealth bills came to the floor that would cause the fart to rise. Again, I fact-checked it. That's what they called themselves.
That name really stinks, Maggie. Sorry,
let
I had
the
to.
Puns roll
the
in.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Tuesday to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Trump is back in court. I feel better about that. And he's coming to Waukesha on Wednesday. Tune in, Devils.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 3 to 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I'd be safe and wild, safe and bold. If I was in L.A.,
Good morning and welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. You can always join us if you want to call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Elon continues to ruin. Really nice to have Kristen Kaplan-Wolf on. If you missed it, I would highly encourage you to go back and listen. She's with Democrats Abroad, UK, and just talking about how many millions of Americans live overseas and in some instances may not even be aware that they are still eligible to vote, at least in federal elections.
Some of them, as Kristen said, just flat out have been told by other people they can't vote. I mean, I don't own property, therefore I can't vote. This is not the 18th century anymore.
Well, but again, keep in mind, she taught us that this wasn't a law until 1986.
I know. And it took 10 years to get there. That blows my mind. You are fighting overseas for our freedom, but sorry, you can't vote.
Well, yeah, again, go back. We'll get it posted. Everything will be posted in the show. You can go to civicmedia.us and just click on Matinee on Air, and that takes you to every single episode to date.
Which you can subscribe to as a podcast. You'll get two episodes a day, the entire show, all 2 hours sent to you 1 hour at a time. Subscribe to it. That way, if you miss an episode, you can listen to us on your ride home. You can also subscribe and leave a comment if we're doing great. If it's a five-star, wonderful. If it's less than five stars, send those complaints to Calvin at civicmedia.hotmail/angelfire Twitter.
It'll find him.
It'll find him.
We'll make sure it finds
The mail
him.
Never fails.
No, it never fails. And the other thing I would like to ask folks, too, if you listen to the show and you like the show, please tell someone.
Tell one person.
Just one folk.
Yep.
Just one humanoid.
Tell a friend.
Or your dog.
Or an enemy. Both.
Well, sure.
Love your dog, too. We're pro-dog here.
We are very pro-dog, and I think most folks are very pro-dog. All right. Not sure about this guy, but he's back in the news. And I love the Cap Times because I love their opinion pieces.
Yeah.
Dave Zweifel and John Nichols usually write some pretty blistering opinion pieces in the Cap Times. And this one today is from John Nichols. We're talking about lake-sitting, axe-throwing California guy Eric Hovde and his efforts to become a U.S. senator against Wisconsin's junior senator, Tammy Baldwin. Mr. Nichols points out in today's Cap Times where Baldwin is constantly talking about shipyards in Green Bay, farms in Rusk County, and small businesses in northern Wisconsin hurt by the lack of snow this year. Hovde just mouths right-wing platitudes that sound like they've been downloaded from Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell's campaign file.
And when I say misspelled, like, he's not good at this.
Eric Hovde?
He's awful at being a candidate, at least being the candidate that they want him to be. He's terrible at it.
Well, and I don't know that his campaign staff is doing him any favors.
Who
are the people advising him? Are they Wisconsinites? I kind of question that.
Oh, I doubt it. Because you know what? A Wisconsinite? I firmly believe, unless it was just a room full of yes men, which you and I have had this conversation, if it was an independent thinking marketing firm or whatever, a real Wisconsinite would have said, you are going to look like a fool if you throw an axe.
Or
sit in a frozen lake. And also spending the first 2 months of your campaign just pleading us to believe that you're from Wisconsin, using you, your wife, and your family's name, a family name which is very successful in California, as you are a California landowner.
Pretty much.
So,
again, according to this opinion piece from John Nichols in the Cap Times, Hovde has not focused on his family ties to Madison, recalling the contributions made by his grandfather, his father. Instead, he comes across as a jet setter whose message is closer to a cocktail party at his $7 million Laguna Beach mansion. A far, far cry from any conversation you might hear on Main Street in Richland Center.
Oh, God, yeah.
Which is where Tammy Baldwin launched her re-election bid.
I mean, it's really not hard. Like, I get that some people don't live here, but they're still here. There are people who live out. I've had friends who live outside the state, but are Wisconsin through and through. And it's really not hard to talk about. I mean, just... Hey, like, seriously, Eric Hovde, if you are listening,
you're not.
If you're listening, just sit down and tell us about your favorite memories about living in Wisconsin, whether they're family memories, going to baseball games, living in Madison. There have to be some. And just talk and just connect with us. Instead, what you're doing is just failing every time. I cannot believe for one moment that anyone's buying it. Like, no one's like, well, I wasn't sure about Eric Hovde, but when I saw him sitting in that pond,
that's what sold me.
That's what I knew he was Wisconsin, because my grandpappy, he was a pond sitter. My grandpappy's grandpappy was a pond sitter. And let me tell you, we go back seven generations of pond sitters, and he's my guy.
We've been sitting in frozen ponds
for
generations.
Yeah.
For generations.
I mean, it feels like they're making it way harder than it should be.
I guess what I don't understand is the amount of chutzpah it requires to have no experience in government. And no, not even at a local level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Local city council, your local alderman,
mm-hmm.
to work your way up. It just seems like right now, everybody who we have no political experience, but I'm shooting for the top, man. I have no experience, but I'm going to be a senator. I'm not even going to screw around with a local house race.
Well, that really denotes that is also a class problem. Because the three examples I think of immediately, Donald Trump, Tim Michaels, Eric Hovde. There are other examples out there, definitely. But in Wisconsin, closest to us, Donald Trump, Tim Michaels, Eric Hovde, all older businessmen who said, I can do that. I'm a business owner. I can run that. I know how to run business. I business like no one's business, so I can business this country. But as we've seen with Donald Trump, trying to run your country like a business, which really he was running it like a fiefdom, doesn't work.
No.
Tim Michaels tried to come in and say, I want that. I'm a businessman. I money. I have money everywhere. Building with my name, money. Wisconsin rejected him handily.
Yes, very handily.
So what is Eric Hovde going to do to separate himself from those two examples? Once again, I go back to sit on a couch, have a discussion, talk about in real tones and real emotions your favorite things about Wisconsin. Find connections with the people who live here. I am giving free advice to Eric Hovde right now.
Which Hovde campaign.
Take. But that's the problem, is that these guys get in their head because they have people around them saying, you can do that.
You're so good. You're so good. It's going to be so, you're going to win this, no problem.
And not to mention just a teensy bit of, I deserve it. It's mine.
855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, what used to be Twitter. Tom from L.A. Good morning, Tom. How are you doing? What do you want to say?
I am not sure if this guy's ever been to Wisconsin. I am so proud to be from Wisconsin. I get the best of both worlds. I get my live in California in a nice weather climate, and I also get to listen to you guys every day. So it's like I know more about Wisconsin than anything. This guy... I mean, come on. I mean, how about a, shanty or, sitting in a, when it was wintertime, where you're ice fishing or something. Yeah. I mean, this guy is just, wow. Yeah. I'm blown away. I mean, the Packers, what about, Spotted Cow? Just say moo. anything. This guy doesn't know
Seriously, Tom. I mean, put on some waders and go schmelting. let's get some real Wisconsin stuff going here. We can have We'll have Johnny Watermelon come back in, and he can take Eric Hovde schmelting.
Go back to Madison where your family is. Go to a Muscalards game. If you know what that means, Eric, you get Wisconsin. But you don't, because you're not from here.
It's just so interesting, Tom, like you said, to try and see him endear himself to folks here. And really, the only thing he's got is, I'm not Baldwin. Because he shows up on my timeline all the time. He has no specifics about policies. It's all platitudes, as John Nichols mentions in this Cap Time opinion piece, right? It's just, this is the way things should be, and I'm going to make them that way.
Well, I guess all billionaires must not have a taste of the different areas of the country or something, because... that just blows my mind away that this guy doesn't know anything about Wisconsin. I mean, the people. I mean, I grew up in a town of 2,000, and, I knew everybody. My dad was the head football coach there. I mean, it just blows my mind away. My uncle's on the board of directors for the Packers. It's like, this guy doesn't have a clue.
Hey, Tom, maybe really sad. Hey, Tom, how do you feel about running?
Apparently people from California can run for senator. Hey. What's stopping you?
First off, I'd definitely run, and I would run actually back in Wisconsin if I had some property back in Wisconsin. But honestly, because of money and politics, because of Citizens United, that's what stopped me from ever running. But I'll tell you one thing. I would definitely get the ideas from We the People, and it's their government, and it would be their seat. It wouldn't be mine. And the information, I think everybody, whether you're on the right or the left, can decide that, you know, politicians shouldn't be bribed, you know, with money to be able to run a campaign. I'm an FDR Democrat. That's what I am. So thank you guys so much.
Oh, you're most welcome, Tom. And thank you very, very much for always listening and for calling in and for texting as well. John Nichols' opinion piece in the Cap Times, speaking of money, points out that Eric Hovde's campaign is largely funded by out-of-state Californians.
I thought he was rich.
Well, in addition to lending his campaign $8 million of his own money, A Better Wisconsin Together notes that Hovde has collected $60,000 from campaign donors with ties in California. And we only have a couple of minutes left. I think it's important, Greg, that just for balance...
Are we trying to be fair and balanced?
We're trying to be fair and balanced. Yeah. And to run this really completely real and totally vicious ad.
How did it get there?
Someone delivered it to me wearing a raincoat and a hat. It was late. Calvin, let's play that that completely real and totally legitimate attack in.
Wisconsin's two U.S. senators couldn't be more different. Democrat Tammy Baldwin keeps getting things done for her constituents. She helped secure funding for infrastructure projects like the Blatnik Bridge and made sure Wisconsin seniors can afford life-saving insulin. But Republican Senator Ron Johnson knows exactly what needs to happen to make your life better.
I think we'd be far better off if we never passed another piece of legislation.
This November, elect the wealthy California guy who sits in frozen lakes. Just like Senator Johnson, he'll work hard when he gets to Washington, just not for you.
Paid for by the We Got Nothing Else Super PAC. Also, Senator Baldwin has no idea who we are and does not endorse this message.
Ooh, hard hitting.
I've been hit hard. Just a reminder to folks, if people think, oh, $8 million, that's a lot of money. Eric Hovde is worth about $500 million. So this will be,
I think that's
win, lose,
or
draw.
It's just a chunk of change. It's just a...
It's a write-off.
It's pocket change.
Yeah, it doesn't matter to him.
It's pocket change. I would encourage you to check out the Cap Times and this opinion piece by John Nichols that he wrote about a California guy. Lake sitting, axe throwing, California man, Eric Hovde.
Mustache having.
That, yes.
I defend the mustache. That's the only thing about him I'll defend is the mustache.
Boy, I could go off on this for at least a half an hour. It's the shape of the mustache that I have an issue with.
I don't have a problem with the mustache. There's nothing wrong with the shape either. It's perfectly fine.
It needs to be clipped.
Okay, you're talking to the barber here?
You are a barber.
I was a barber.
Let's invite Avdi in and we'll give him a clip. I'm sure he would come in. And he's welcome to, absolutely, and with all sincerity, he is welcome to join us.
Yes.
Anytime.
All the candidates are. We'd
absolutely
love to talk to you.
Anytime.
It's a safe space with safe ads.
855-752-4842. We will be right back. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Hey, this is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. All right, we have all had that moment where it is hard to resist an impulse purchase.
last year, I bought this heart-shaped waffle maker because I was like, won't that make Saturday morning so much fun? Well, it turns out when you don't use the darn thing, you don't have that much fun. So here are two ideas to help all of us cut back on spur-of-the-moment spending. First, unfollow your favorite brands on social media. Last year, companies spent $68 billion advertising to us on social media. They know that stuff works. And second, make a wish list. I love this. I keep mine in the notes section on my phone. When I see something in a store or online, and I didn't have a plan to buy it, but I really want it, I put it on my wish list. And if I still want it a week later, I check my budget and I see if I can afford it. Somehow, I don't think the waffle maker would have made the cut. For more tips on spending less and making more, head on over to workmoney.org. Take good care.
Mad Radio 92.7 FM, home of the John and Gordy Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. We were talking about lake-sitting, axe-throwing California guy Eric Hovde running against Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin, and John Nichols has a pretty great opinion piece in today's Cap Times about that. Fred from Cottage Grove is waiting on the line. Good morning, Fred. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you want to say?
Good morning, guys. Has anybody realized, provided for some outrageous reason, Hovde does become a senator, the only time he would ever see Wisconsin was when he was flying back and forth from D.C. Mm-hmm. to California.
Yeah.
From the air, 35,000 feet.
Yep.
That's the only time. He's moving out to D.C. immediately.
Yep. He probably already has a place out there.
Oh, I would imagine so, because he lived out there.
Yeah.
And he lived out there and then moved back the last time he tried to run.
Yeah.
And lost. And then he moved to California. You make a great point, Fred, and I think maybe Eric Hovde and Ron Johnson could share the same private plane, because Rocho's never in Wisconsin either. He's at his place in Florida.
Well, Rocho's got a plane when they got that tax break,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yep. They made sure that, yes, it was a crucially important tax cut for owners of private planes, and I believe yachts were in there too.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he probably didn't buy one that's made up there in Sturgeon Bay either.
Yeah, right. Thank you so much, Fred. Really appreciate you listening, and thank you so very much for calling. You can join us as well at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. We had some comments on the we got some texts in.
We got some texts in. Let's see here. I'm just doing that really
Jake
fast.
From Madison says,
yes.
This is the problem when you're a Republican that lives inside of their own bubble of BS,
mm-hmm.
where what they think is important isn't important to the 2/3 of us that live in the real world.
Yep.
Throw in Hovde being a rich banker, and no wonder this guy can't relate to the rest of Wisconsin.
Also, L.A. Tom just says, simple, and we've said it before, Tim Michaels 2.0.
Yep.
Also, a request for the totally real, totally legitimate ads.
Yeah.
We've gotten your requests. Unfortunately, we can't put them on as a file. What we're going to be doing is putting them on a SoundCloud page. So as soon as we know more about that, we believe there is a Civic Media page that is available. But we want to get those two ads on there. And any other things we do will be available eventually on the SoundCloud page.
That are being generated by the We Got Nothing
You're
else
right.
Super
You're right.
Pack.
What am I saying? I'm so sorry.
It's an important clarification.
You're
Greg
very, very,
Bach.
You're. I'm so, so sorry.
Get us in trouble.
Calvin, did you, I found some, I actually found a piece of audio of a conversation between Tammy Baldwin and Eric Hovde about why he is running. Calvin, can you run that?
Quit the campaign. Why would we do that?
Because I want it. Come on, give me it.
That's Eric Hovde speaking.
Give me it. Come on, give me it.
Sounds like
just give me the election. I'm sorry. Please. Please.
Well, Leslie.
So there you go. Thanks.
It sounds a lot like Parks and Rec.
I don't know what you're talking about, Jane.
No.
No. Not at all. But yeah, it's frustrating. I don't want him to win, but I also want him to be a good candidate. He's bad.
He is bad.
Yeah. And look at the, look who reached out to us on the live stream. Someone we know, Carmella. Hey, y'all, I had a busy weekend. Got hitched and had my 60th birthday. Jane, you want to talk about that a little bit more?
Carmella was so lovely. She actually sent us an invitation to the wedding that happened this Saturday.
Along with a lovely letter.
It's the nicest, honest to God. Carmella, you made our whole year. You really did. Just she shared some lovely thoughts about our show. And that stuff like that just makes us all squishy.
Yeah.
It really does.
I felt bad having to say no, and I enjoy saying no to weddings because that's like a 14-hour commitment that I'm just too grumpy for. But thank you so much. And the pictures were amazing.
And then Carmella sent us pictures of the wedding. That looked like so much fun. It really did. I wish we had been able to make it.
There was a pirate there.
There was a pirate at the wedding. So. Calvin, we got a couple of minutes left. If we have time, do we have that completely legitimate and seriously vicious first attack ad that was released? Let's take a listen to that one.
What has Senator Tammy Baldwin done to Wisconsin? Let's take a look at her record. Last year, Senator Baldwin helped lower the cost of insulin for Wisconsin seniors. Shocking? Oh, yes. A $35 cap on out-of-pocket costs for senior citizens on Medicare? And there's more. Tammy Baldwin brought home $200 million to fight for clean drinking water for everyone and is helping build actual bridges in Wisconsin by securing over $3 billion through the bipartisan infrastructure law. Is this what the people of Wisconsin want? A radical socialist, communist, Marxist, liberal, feminist in a caravan? A lawmaker doing actual work on your behalf? We know better. So vote for the California guy running against Senator Tammy Baldwin. She needs to stop getting things done for Wisconsin. You guys, this is actual good stuff. Did you? Whatever.
Paid for by the We Got Nothing Else Super PAC. Also, Senator Baldwin has no idea who we are and does not endorse this message.
As Greg mentioned, we're not able to post those in the show notes.
Correct.
But we are working on setting up a SoundCloud.
Yes.
And we can get those posted and you can play it over and over and over again to your heart's content.
Send it to your friends.
Send it to your friends.
Family.
Send it to the Hufty campaign. We got nothing. Super PAC has ideas.
Yeah, and send them to the women you know in your life who will get as much of a laugh from communist, feminist.
In a caravan.
Yes.
Yes.
Who will love it as much as Jane does every time she hears it.
And I wrote it. No. It still
what?
And it still makes me laugh.
Broken here first on Mad Nary. Shenanigans!
All right. Thank you, Greg and
Thank
Calvin
you.
And our engineers, Corey and Brian, are both sitting out there. They make everything run. Without them, nothing works. And thank you to all of you, to our guests, certainly. And we had Kyle Chisholm from the Madison Mallards.
Yeah.
And then Kristen Wolf was here to talk, Kaplan, to talk about Democrats abroad. And thank you to all of you for calling and listening and texting. It means the absolute world. Thank you so much. Stay close. We have news coming up next. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. Stay here. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Radio WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Earl Ingram.
Tuesday morning, join Sandy Williams and I as we take a look back to the presidency of Donald Trump.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Hey, so what's a great way to spread awareness that driving high is illegal everywhere? A catchy song, of course.
You can run, or you can't. You can run, but you can't drive high.
Friendly reminder, don't drive high. If you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Mad Radio.
WMDX 1580 AM Columbus. W224 EG Madison.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.